Athletic Director Ryan Kasten into the program as we continue our Jefferson County AD's end of the summer series with the school year actually beginning tomorrow for most schools in Jefferson County, if not all. But the fall athletic season for most of these schools will begin August 24th, which happens to be Friday night football night. And so we'll talk a little bit about that later with Ryan Kasten. But first, Coach, kind of what I'd like to start off with is thanking you for taking time to make the trip here to the studio to do this, and also to find out about any coaching changes that might have occurred over the summer.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me come in and speak about Sekman Athletics and all the good things our coaching staff and our kids have done over the summer and leading up into the start of the fall season. You know, we every year you have changeover in coaches, whether it be assistants or head coaches, and really the only program that had a major change was our girls volleyball program. We hired Paula Backley as our new head girls volleyball coach. She's been an assistant in the program for the last 5 years. She brings some stability and expertise to that program as far as where it's been and where it's going. Her and her staff have done a great job this summer. We had over 60 kids at tryouts last week. We have a roster of 41 kids currently, and we have some young talent on that team that if they can stay healthy, I really look for them to do some good things this fall.
And that's great that the numbers are showing up because, to be frank, you know, you look at the record from last year and it just
– oh, yeah.
It was a down year for Sekman girls volleyball, and, you know, no athlete, no student athlete wants to go into a season thinking about that. So in terms of the conversations that you've had with Coach Backley about the approach to this year, what have some of those been?
Well, the biggest thing for that program is Paula is our fourth head coach in 4 years. And so the biggest thing when looking for a replacement is we wanted some stability. Coach Backley is a teacher at the Sekman High School, has been in the program, been at the high school for the last 5 years. So she really gives us some consistency. And, you know, the conversations I had with her is just getting the word out, being a great communicator, motivating the girls to be there in the summertime, because that's really when you build that foundation for success when the season starts. And her and her staff have done a great job of that, and it showed in the numbers and tryouts last week. And the practices that I stopped by last week, you can see in the skill set that the girls are well into where they need to be week one of the season.
And, you know, when it comes to high school athletics, there's so many there's so many sports for kids to get involved with. So, you know, you got some kids who try to be two-sport athletes, so they focus their attention on getting better in one and maybe less so on the other. So that might cause some complications when it comes to having consistency in every single sport.
Correct.
Throughout the season. What's your thought on that thought of mine?
Well, to be honest with you, at Sekman, since we are a larger school, we don't have that issue per se. Now,
okay.
I've been a head coach at a small district at Herkey, an AD at a small district, Winfield, which is up by Troy, Missouri. And in dealing with those issues, you have to make decisions based on what's best for that individual kid when they're trying to do multiple sports at one time. But, you know, there at Sekman being such a large school, we really haven't had that issue of kids trying to do two sports in one season.
Okay. All right. That's a good take because, yeah, small schools have a little bit more.
Well, sometimes, I mean, you got to be creative and you got to share athletes in order for multiple programs to have success. You know, coming in today, I wanted to go through and break through our numbers of kids that we have on our MSHA eligibility rosters for fall athletics and activities, and we have 558 kids, which is almost a third of our student population, is involved in either a fall athletics or in our marching band program, which is pretty amazing. You know, and we've had a great turnout so far with our tryouts last week and all of our fall athletics, and speaking with those coaches that have been embedded in those programs for several years now, they've all said the same thing, that this has been their biggest turnout. And I think the big reason for that is we've really emphasized getting our head coaches into our middle schools early in the school year to promote their program, to get information out, to establish relationships, to advertise the local youth feeder programs that we have that would feed into our high school programs. And you're starting to see a positive return on that.
Okay, very well. Sekman football, Doug Baker entering his third year football, you know, I think people will admit it, football is sort of the sport that most people gravitate
Correct.
To in Jefferson County. And
Correct.
So it's huge to, you know, be competitive year in and year out. And, you know, unfortunately for Seckman, last couple of years have been a bit of a struggle. But Doug Baker, I got a chance to do training camp last year for Seckman football, and he is such a positive guy that a 1-9 team like the one from last year has to be feeling better about their chances going into this year because of him.
Coach Baker does an outstanding job of keeping his kids focused and on task what the big goal is, and his staff does a great job of coaching the person first and the athlete second. And you would, if you're around our football program in week 10 last year or the year before, you wouldn't think it was a 1-9 program just because of the enthusiasm from the players and the effort that they were putting forth in practice. You know, and it goes back to Doug and his staff keeping those kids focused on what the goal is at hand at that particular moment. Now, going into this season, he has a lot of his skill position kids back, a lot of his leadership kids back. He's got a great group of seniors that, in my opinion, are high character. You know, and with the schedule that we have this year, I think this is going to be a turning point for Doug and his program as far as the wins and losses are concerned.
All right, so let's see here. Your first home game will actually be your season opener, August 24th, 7 o'clock. Washington comes to town. And then you got, actually, just so you know, Windsor, when you guys travel to Windsor, we'll have that game on KJF right here.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. That was, you know, contacting their AD when we did the scheduling a few years back, to me, that's a no-brainer. That's a natural rival, being pretty much we're in the same community as an Imperial, and it's going to be a great game, and we're going to have a great crowd there because it's right down the road from us. To me, it's a no-brainer to have that contest on the schedule every year. And I think if you look at our programs and past success in the win-loss area, I think it's a game that's going to be competitive for both programs.
And you kind of like to have that early season I-55, if you will, rivalry going.
Yeah.
What's the buzz about the school? Are you already talking about week two of the season or any of that?
Well, I would say tell you this. If you talk to Coach Baker, no. Their focus is on this Friday,
right.
The Jamboree that we're hosting for Festus High School, since their stadium is still being worked up from the construction project.
Right.
So his focus is really on that. And knowing Doug, he won't want to talk about it until we get to that Monday.
Okay.
But I can tell you, around the other teachers and coaches and administrators, it's a game we definitely have marked on our calendar to attend because, number one, we're going to have a large turnout from our fan base, especially our student body. A lot of these kids, they grow up together. They play sports, youth sports together. And so it's going to be a great atmosphere. And, then on top of that, you're looking at two programs as far as success is concerned are comparable. So it's going to be a very competitive game. It's going to be a fun game to watch.
Now, I will admit this. When I was in high school, I was antisocial, shy, didn't want to participate in anything if I didn't have my close friends with me. But I knew from what I heard from friends that were much different from me is that homecoming was one of those nights that you don't forget, that you got to go to because it's so much fun. Tell us about homecoming for you guys this year.
So homecoming for us is going to be on homecoming weekend. We'll start with Friday, October 5th. We'll have our parade that we have there on the Seckman campus, that we go down Seckman Road through the elementary and middle school. We always have a good turnout for that event as far as the kids attending, kids that participate in it, and the community that comes out and watches the parade. And then that night we host McClure High School in our homecoming game. That's a game the last 2 years we've been competitive with them. They've got the better end of those two games. But I think this year, if we can be healthy at that point, like I said before, with the leaders he has coming back, the position players he has coming back, I think it's going to be a good game for us.
Who gets involved at the school in setting up all the homecoming activities?
So our student council does an absolutely outstanding job organizing that parade, communicating it out, getting the student body involved. It's one of the best ones I've been a part of in my 17 years of education. It just the amount of people that are involved in it and how it's organized, our student council sponsors, I can't praise them enough. They do an outstanding job, and not just for the homecoming parade, but the homecoming weekend events mm-hmm. overall, and then everything else the student council does. I mean, we just had freshman orientation last week for incoming freshmen, and we had 40-something student council members there just showing the kids around, giving them information, answering questions, and they just do an outstanding job of representing the school and selling to students and the community what we're all about.
That's very cool. And then senior night is another great night for the senior athletes. You get the parents involved on the field, walking them to, you know, maybe midfield or whatever yard line you guys prefer to do it on. Yeah. But it's a special night. And then, you know, all their friends, if they haven't gone to a football game or even if they have, they're going to show up for that as well. So senior night's pretty cool too.
Well, and for us, it's it even goes to another level because we host Fox. And so with that being the big rival that we have in all sports at Seckman, and the same goes for Fox as well, in my 2 years as the athletic director at Seckman, we've hosted one of these, and we've went to Fox, and both times it's an outstanding event where both student bodies really get into it, both communities really get into the game, and it's an exciting atmosphere. And then you add senior night on top of that. We're at full capacity as far as our stands are concerned and the standing area where the game can be watched from. It's a great event. We recognize all of our fall athletics on that evening, and we really put an emphasis on recognizing our seniors and thanking them for the time and effort that they've put into making our program successful.
Again, we are broadcasting your game at Windsor. That is August 31st, 7 o'clock kickoff right here on KJFF. And for the entire football broadcast schedule for the first 6 weeks of the season, you guys can go to MIMOinfo.com, and under the sports tab, there is a regional radio game broadcast schedule. You click on that, it'll have the first 6 weeks all mapped out for you. It'll also throw in our Pigskin preview, which is next week, and also our football show on Tuesday nights at Buffalo Wild Wings on J98. So we're certainly looking forward to that game against Windsor on August 31st again there. Mr. Kasten, I kind of thought maybe we could save some of the more successful seasons that you guys had last year for now, and we'll get to softball and boys soccer. But there's let's start with softball. District champions last year. That's pretty cool.
Correct.
13 wins, 10 losses, I think, was the final record there. Can you talk about the past couple of years since you've been the AD at Seckman, how the softball team has been doing?
I tell you what, you know, being a former coach and coaching a fall athletic team, softball has quickly become one of my favorite sports to watch. I've always been a baseball fan, but the quick pace of the game and just the overall atmosphere of those games, it's an exciting time. And, you know, coming into Seckman, I knew that program is one of the more successful ones at Seckman High School in its 20 years of existence. And our first year there, we were district champs, sectional champs, lost in the quarterfinals to Washington High School 4-3 at Seckman. That was a very intense atmosphere, and the fact that they were up early and we started to come back, and we just ran out of outs to get a win and to qualify for the Final Four. And, you know, so coming into last season, the expectations were high, had a lot of returning players, had our starting pitcher coming back and Zoe Martin, and the season was going great. Kids were playing well, wins were adding up, and we suffered an injury, and Zoe Martin, our pitcher, got hurt, and our backup pitchers had to come in. And you know, there were some growing pains there because you got a new pitcher, we had to move some fielding positions around, And the girls struggled there a bit in the middle to come together. But when it came down to districts, the end of the season, they got it figured out, winning our district championship, beating, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, Oakville.
It was a high scoring affair too. It was like 13-11,
and that was a game that they beat us earlier in the season in a close game. I believe that game was like 2-1 or 1-0.
Yeah,
or you know, a one run game at the very least. And so we knew that was going to be a competitive game. And even before getting to the finals of the district championship to play Oakville, we had to face Poplar Bluff, which was a very challenging game. Down early, and we were able to come back and beat them to make it to the finals. And then getting to the sectional game against Marquette, who eventually went on to be the state champions.
Okay.
Again, that was a very – they have a great pitcher. They have a great coach. They have a great staff there, great group of players. And it was just a game that we got beat by a better team. But that season, you know, with that big injury there in the middle, And the girls kind of lost their way. For them to come back and cap it off with a district championship and get into that sectional game, that was huge in my opinion.
Steve Benastia, hopefully I'm saying that right,
yep.
the head coach for softball. What do you think, you know, or what have you talked to him about this upcoming year? Have you had conversations about this fall season?
Steve is a veteran coach, and okay. So my conversations with him are very brief. He knows what he's doing. I just say, Coach, what do you need from me? How can I help support? Let me know how I can promote the team and support the girls in any way I can. He does a great job over the summertime, him and his staff. Jim Claxton is his varsity assistant coach, and then also with his lower-level coaches. I mean, that program, the last 3 years, we carry three full teams. We carry three full schedules. We always have great turnouts as far as numbers are concerned. Girls want to be a part of that program. It makes me wish my two daughters, who are in elementary, were softball players. They're not. One plays volleyball and one's into basketball, so maybe I can get them involved in that. But Steve does a great job. He doesn't need a whole lot of input or advice from me. And if he does, he'll ask, but that's very rare.
Very rare.
Yeah. he is a veteran coach. He knows what he's doing. And that's proof in the success we've had.
Yeah, certainly. And you mentioned the turnout, the numbers there. Do you have those off the top of your head? I know I'm asking a lot.
41 for softball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Enough to field the JV and freshman team,
correct,
I would assume?
Well, our freshman team is really a C team. Okay. We do have, I believe, one or two sophomores that'll play down.
Okay.
But mostly a freshman team, and that's the hardest one to fill the schedule, because not a lot of programs, even schools our size, carry a C team or a freshman team, and so we have to play a lot of JV teams. We are in two freshmen. Our freshman team is in two tournaments, but they are JV tournaments, and they've been able to hold their own. I mean, they haven't had a losing record since I've been there. They've won every tournament they've played in as a freshman team playing in the JV level. So the success of that overall program, if the girls continue to come out and listen and stay healthy and progress, that's a program that's going to be successful down the road.
And then Tim Bookstaver, mm-hmm. Coach Bookstaver for boys soccer.
Coach Book, as everybody calls him.
Coach Book,
yeah.
Okay. Hopefully he reads a lot. That would make sense if he did. Boys soccer, 15-11, another
yeah.
winning season for you guys. Jackson, oh so close there, 4-3 loss in the district championship. But this, I like to talk a little bit about soccer because I am a big soccer
yeah.
fan. So give me anything you have about this boys soccer program coming into this year.
I tell you what, going into this season, Coach had some concerns. You know, we graduated a lot of seniors last year, a lot of guys that were productive for the program and produced a lot of goals and contributed. And so he was concerned with what we had coming back. He's been very surprised with the turnout this summer, very surprised with the progression of the younger players that are going to make the varsity team. I think this season, in his mind, is going to be a little bit more successful than what he had originally thought. We have over 50 kids on that program, which we were
wow.
concerned we weren't going to have a freshman team.
Yeah.
We had 26 freshmen come out for the freshman team, which
good for you.
In Coach Bookstaver's memory, we've never had that many, and so that's exciting for that program. Because last year, my first year there, we did not have the numbers for a freshman team. Last year, we struggled to maintain enough to keep our freshman schedule, and this year we had 26. We didn't think we were going to have that turnout, and so it has started off on the right foot. The boys are working hard. They put a lot of time in this summer. We had to cancel a couple scrimmage-type events because of the heat. They're late, but Coach Bookstaver is very pleased with the work that they put in. And you know, I think we're going to have a good year this year. Do I think we're going to be 15-1 and be playing for the district championship? I was not as for sure as I was this time last year, but I think it's still going to be a success for that program.
And you seem like the kind of AD that knows the ins and outs of a lot of these teams. You got any names of players you can drop on us that are?
To be honest with you, if
okay.
it was last year, yeah, I could probably give you two
okay,
or three
gotcha.
Names. This year, because we had such a huge turnover,
right?
A lot of these guys that are going to contribute at a high level were on the JV or were role players on the varsity team, so their names to me just aren't sticking out in my head.
Okay.
Now, if you come ask me in 3 weeks, I'll probably have several for you. I just know that program has been one of our consistent ones, especially in the fall. And Coach Bookstaver does an outstanding job. He's another one of our veteran coaches, like Coach Benastia, that doesn't need a whole lot of help from me. And I let him do his thing and give support when he needs it and promote his program the best I can.
Now we got a few minutes before we need to take a break. So your quick thoughts on cross country going into this fall and also what I think is pretty cool, girls golf as well.
Yeah. So I was a cross country coach at Herky for 10 years. So this is a sport that's near and dear to my heart. We had a great season last year. Qualifying both our teams to the sectional meet, boys and girls. We qualified two boys to the state meet in Nathan Key and Zach Reed. We did qualify a girl in Stephanie Anthony's. She was all state in class four, finished 19th place as a sophomore. We returned pretty much the entire boys team from last year that qualified for sectionals and about 90% of the girls team. So if they can stay healthy and progress and have success from all the mileage they put in this summer. When I saw them up there at 6 a.m. running, hitting the roads, I really think this is a year we could see a second cross country team running at the state meet or two if they can stay healthy and progress.
Right. Coach Roach, what you know, tell us a little bit about Coach Roach and what makes her so good.
Again, we have a veteran. She's a veteran coach. We've had a veteran staff. We did bring on a new assistant coach in Clayton Tinsley. He was one of our assistant track coaches, worked with the boy distance runners in the springtime. So it's a easy carryover.
Right.
He knows the kids. He was a collegiate runner himself, brings a wealth of knowledge. And that's another program. They don't need a lot of input or advice from me. It's just support and promoting. And that's really the whole with all the coaches at Secman. We have a great veteran staff that really makes my job pretty easy.
And on the girls' golf side, mm-hmm. is that something that Secman has had for a while? Is it something you got going when you got
the AD? No, okay. It's been there for a while. It's been there for as long as the school's been there, to my understanding.
Okay.
And cool. Coach Brad Hagedorn is our girls' head golf coach, also our head boys' baseball coach in the springtime. He's got 15 girls in the program, which is the most that he's had in his time there as a head coach. We have returning two-time All-Stater Claire Slovak. She was tied for the state championship in Class 2 as a freshman, was third last year in Class 2 as a sophomore, and is looking to maybe bring home that individual state championship again and maybe take some of her teammates to the state golf match with her, the state tournament, sorry.
Right. Yeah. Great. All right, well, we're going to let you catch your breath.
Okay.
and we'll take a break here, and we'll come back in a few minutes, and we're going to touch a little bit on the winter and spring sports as well for Secman, and anything else Ryan Kasten wants you to know, he'll tell you about it coming up here in just a few minutes. You're listening to KJS Sports Talk. It's 442. Greenwood back in the KJF studio with you. It is KJF Sports Talk, and we've got Ryan Kasten, the Secman Athletic Director, still in studio. We haven't chased him off just yet. and we just got done talking about the fall sports season, which I believe the first official game of for all sports is the Friday night football game.
Correct.
for Secman hosting Washington. So best of luck in that one for them. But that's their That's how they kickstart the 2018-19 sports calendar year. And so let's go ahead, and while we have Ryan Kasten here in studio, move on to winter sports and spring sports. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program, so we'll briefly touch on these. But Coach, let's start off the bat with the most successful program that you had in the winter, and mm-hmm. that was the wrestling team.
Correct.
We'll throw out the names here, and I'm sure people have not forgotten who these kids are.
Yeah.
Skylar Akers taking third place this year at state. Jack Rockledge taking third place. Then you've got Cameron Fusco, who finished second, and not only second place in state this year, but the year before that, and the year before that. So
Correct.
Second place all 4 years of high school.
And to the same kid.
To the same kid, who's and they're both now going to be at Mizzou Wrestling.
Correct.
So
yep.
that's
yes, sir.
Man. And then you got Jeremy Ashlock, a junior, who finished fourth place mm-hmm. at state. And then, of course, your champion, Kyle Rini,
yeah.
who will also be coming back.
Correct.
Coach Moyer, he's got so many talented kids on that wrestling side. You must be pretty stoked about this upcoming wrestling season.
I tell you what, that's a great program. That coaching staff, the amount of time they put in with those kids in the off season, as far as getting them conditioned and ready for the start of the season, is unreal. And those kids themselves, that's just such a unique sport in the amount of work that it takes to have just success. And then you put that level of success on it, that's a whole different different element. And those kids are fun to watch, fun to watch them compete at our duels and tournaments. I will say the state wrestling tournament is probably one of my favorite Misha state championships to attend, especially those individual state championship matches on Saturday, because they turn the lights down, they get the smoke going, music playing, and they introduce every kid as they come out on the mats. It is a neat, neat event.
It's almost like WWE.
close. It can be just as exciting, if not more.
Yeah. I was curious if you got a chance to attend those, but it sounds like you do.
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, that the state wrestling tournament isn't something I would miss, especially with a program like that, when you have kids competing for individual state titles and then also individual awards. And then we were fourth in the state this year, earning a team trophy, which I believe is either the third or fourth in the history of our wrestling program at Seckman, and that's only in 20 years. You know, and those kids stay healthy, and the work that they put in this summer leading up into the season in the wintertime, that's something that they could repeat.
And now we've got girls basketball and boys basketball as well. Boys 7-16 under Coach Williams. They had some good talent there for sure last year. We got a chance to see that game. I think it was against might have been Windsor. Did y'all host? I think y'all hosted Windsor last year, or maybe it was. All I know is it was a fantastic basketball game. I think it was a 3-point.
That was at Windsor.
Yeah.
We hosted it the year before, and it was a 2-point game the year before. So,
yeah.
You know, just like anytime we play Fox, anytime we play Windsor, both programs are going to bring their A game. Those are very competitive games. Our students, athletes know each other. They've went to school together, or they've played youth sports together. And so those are highly competitive events regardless of the sport.
Yeah, and that was fun. And then girls basketball, 11-14, not a bad year there either. So, you know, talk a little bit about boys and girls basketball and the direction you see it going this year.
You know, and you may be aware of this, we're in the Suburban Conference, and our conference had a major overhaul this year of splitting from the traditional Suburban West, which you play these schools in every sport year after year after year, to where now we are put into pools based off your previous season's records. And so basketball on the boys' side and the girls' sides, because of that rearrange within the conference, is something we're going to benefit from, because instead of having to go play Eureka and Lafayette and Marquette within our conference, we're not going to be playing against teams that we are going to be competitive with. And so I think it's something that those programs will benefit from as far as wins and loss in building momentum and having success in trying to build that program and take a step forward. You know, the boys' side, we graduated a lot of seniors, a lot of contributors from that varsity team. The JV and freshman team did have good years. Our role players did have good years, seeing more minutes as the season went on. And so I think that's a program that's going to continue to grow. And Coach Williams, bringing in his third season as our head coach, I think will continue to do an outstanding job. On the girls' side, we had a young squad last year. We're going to have not quite as young this year, but playing a lot of juniors. And that's a program, to be honest with you, speaking with Coach Mateer, I think at times that team underachieved. I think the expectation both for me and Coach Mateer was a little higher than what it was. Okay. And so and knowing the girls that we have coming back from last year, they understand that and know that as well. And they've been motivated this summer and when we start our open gyms here this fall to try to fix that and right that wrong and get them back on track and, you know, maybe compete for a district title come the end of the season.
And something I actually have not asked you, but I think you've been kind of incorporating it into your answers, but I've been asking you about your conversation with coaches mm-hmm. about their teams. What about the players? Do you get a chance to interact with some of these players as well?
Yeah, I do. We have office workers in the athletic director's office throughout the day, and majority of them are athletes. So I do get to have interaction with those kids. And then, you know, in passing in the hallways in the cafeteria, usually those conversations are positive. I may interject, you know, things that I saw and say, hey, you know, what about this? Or we need to work on this. But really, when it comes to that, the X's and O's and the coaching, I leave to our coaching staff, because, you know, I'm no expert in any means in any sport. And really, my role is to not necessarily coach, but is there to support and promote and help them have success in those ways.
And you've also mentioned that you've got a veteran coaching staff for all of your sports. Mm-hmm. So one thing I have been talking to ADs about during our end of the summer series is about the programs that are used to help these student athletes stay on top of their schoolwork and
Correct.
make the grades tell us a little bit about what Sekman does for that.
Our coaches really take the initiative with that. They stay on top. They do they do grade checks every 2 weeks to make sure their kids are academically where they need to be. They're great communicators with the teachers in the buildings. You know, they want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem, as far as academics are concerned with our student athletes. A lot of our programs set up tutoring sessions where kids may miss some practice time and work with an individual coach to help get them back on track if need be.
And how are the student-athlete academics? What were the numbers from last year, if you recall?
You know, as far as the GPAs are concerned, I don't know. We actually just figured those with the returners we have coming back who came out for our programs this fall. I just don't have that I haven't reviewed it yet.
Okay.
But we've always had high GPAs. That's a very competitive award that we kind of promote as far as who has the highest GPA per season. It's something that our teams and our coaches get excited about, and it's usually pretty competitive.
Do you have do you have awards banquets for sports that people can you can tell people about?
Correct. We don't have an overall awards banquet.
Okay, so
each sport does their own.
Okay.
And you know, they do, you know, academic awards within their programs along with athletic awards to help promote the success that their students are having both as athletes and as students at Sekman High School.
And when that comes to fruition, when you get the schedule as to when the banquets are going to be, how can parents access that or anyone really?
Well, any information as far as athletics are concerned at Sekman or activities, and that is our website, www.sekmanjags.com.
Okay.
All of our schedules, coaching contact information, big events coming up, whether it be banquets or a big game or senior night, any of that will be on that website. And also, they can contact my office directly by emailing me at kastenr@foxc6.org, and I can freely give them any information that they're looking for. But the best way to go is the website, because you can access it from your phone, your home computer, wherever.
Okay, very cool. And you did send me a page that listed all of your head coaches mm-hmm. for all the different sports, and I noticed you left blank boys golf and boys volleyball. Mm-hmm. I didn't know boys volleyball was a thing there, but
So where we're at is we're going to have two new head coaches, one for boys volleyball. Our coach there left the education and coaching ranks, went into the private sector, and then our boys head golf coach resigned from coaching and is just a teacher now in the district. And okay. So we have those jobs posted, looking to set up interviews here in September to get those positions filled. With the success that those programs have had, it's not going to be an issue finding replacements to fill those positions.
Anyone listening now that's like, I could do that job. Where you said the job is posted. Are you still accepting?
Yeah, it's on the Foxy6 School website. The website address I don't know it off the top of my head, because it's saved on my phone and I just click the button and it goes to it.
Right.
But it's on the Foxy6 School District website, or they can contact me with the email I gave before, and I can direct them where they need to go to apply.
All right, very cool. We just got over a little over a minute, Mr. Kasten. So, final thoughts on Sekman in this upcoming year.
Well, I'll tell you real quick, since we got a minute, we were talking about Friday night football starting on the 24th. We do have events coming up this week. Our boys soccer team travels to Hillsboro for a jamboree there this Thursday, the 16th. And then on Friday, we're hosting a football jamboree. And then we're also hosting a softball jamboree. And so, any Sekman alum, fans that aren't aware of those events, we'd love to see you out there supporting the kids. I think they're going to be great events, kind of showcase what those three teams can do as we lead into the start of their actual competitive events a week or so later.
All right, very well. And don't forget, K. Jeff will have Windsor Sekman from Windsor High School August 31st right here on K. Jeff for the K. Jeff Game of the Week. Mr. Kasten, again, appreciate you coming in today.
Matt, thanks for having us. Anytime we can promote our student athletes and our programs, we want to do that because it helps with the overall success of those programs. So thanks again.
You're very welcome. That is Ryan Kasten, Sekman AD. Tomorrow on KJ Sports Talk, we'll have Tom Ludwig from Windsor join us. That's it for today. ABC News next.